is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure. She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
You're tuned in to Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network.
Welcome to the Village Vision Podcast. My name's Dr. Crystal Morrison, and I'm honored to be your host on this incredible journey. As a firm believer in the power of a united village, I'm thrilled to bring you inspiring stories, research, and projects that break down barriers in child and family care. Through heartfelt conversations with experts, advocates, and those with lived experiences, we'll showcase the transformative impact of collective support. So join me on the Village Vision Podcast as we explore the remarkable collaborations that lead to better outcomes, foster a sense of community, and inspire action to improve care for ourselves and everyone around us. On today's episode, I'm here with Julia Pierce. Julia is a writer, speaker, assistive technology guru, and disability advocate. Welcome, Julia.
So great to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're in Utah, correct?
I am, yes.
Wonderful. Are you a native of Utah?
I am. I grew up mostly here, but have traveled across the United States and into Canada.
Awesome. I thought that when we had talked, you had mentioned that you were a native Utahan. How do you say that?
Lots of ways. Most of us say Utahn, but
Utahn.
It comes out.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, much of the work that you're doing today centers around resilience, daily joy, and living life. But I always like to talk to my guests, not only about the work that they're doing today, but the why behind the work that they're doing today. So can you tell us a little bit about what's led you to, you know, really be focusing on your work around resilience, especially, and joy?
So part of that has come through my own experiences growing up, and then with our son. So our son survived an illness when he was two, and people, the doctors, other therapists, and folks that came around him didn't think he was going to survive that illness. And yet his tenacity, we think it was his tenacity, just kept him going, including while in the hospital, he pulled himself up from not being able to sit up any longer or do any of the things he had learned in those first 2 years. And he pulled himself up out of the crib and started walking again, just with this mighty power. And we put a helmet on him in the hospital. And he was this wobbly little guy in the hospital learning to walk again. And that was the beginning of me going, oh my goodness, what is this? Something really, really mighty, powerful, catastrophic illness had happened, and he got up through his own just powerful resistance to something that was beyond our control, and he got up again, and he did that again and again and again throughout his life, over and over. When he would get an illness that would flatten most of us and him, and he would get up the next day brand new, and it taught me, this is resilience. And I think back on it, he would be 33 years old now, and he just did it again and again. Part of what resilience is we don't like it. Yeah. None of us like that word of being resilient. And I've talked with people about it often, and it's not a preferred topic. I don't want to become resilient. That means you got to go through something hard. And yet, those are the powerful people in the world that we're in who keep getting up the next moment or day or week. And that's why I've been just so deeply drawn to it, first with our son and now with life, because somehow we kept getting up again and again. That's what it is for me.
Yeah. You know, the last time we talked, Julia, you were talking about this very Western attitude here in the United States, the Western part of the United States, that is, But this Western attitude of, well, you just got to put your bootstraps on and pull up by the bootstraps and move on, right? And how did you feel when somebody would tell you that?
So the first time somebody said that to me specifically, it was when our son had another round of illnesses. He had a lifetime of them, and he was losing muscle to the point that he was going to need a wheelchair. And we had gotten the disability placard that meant we could park in a specific place to be closer to a building. And I was having a hard time. I was weepy and looking for some support. And somebody said to me, just pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get over it. And I just paused in that moment and thought, oh, this is not the person that I will come to again when I need support.
Right.
Because I think we misunderstand what that is. And I have thought about it many times since then. In the West part of the United States, you never did anything alone when you first came to a new part of the country. You actually didn't do things alone. So it was very telling to me that somebody said, just pull yourself up, because we don't. You don't become resilient on your own. And we can show compassion to one another. So it struck me very directly that that was not who I was going to go to ever again when I needed support. And I didn't. Yeah. Interestingly, I did say it to another friend. I'm like, you're never going to believe what somebody just said to me. Uh-huh. And she got me a little boot that I keep on my keychain. And she's like, oh yeah, I will help you with your boots. And it's now this ongoing joke between the two of us of, I will be here for you. You come to me with anything. She knew that we are not supposed to become stronger, faster, more knowledgeable, any of it by ourselves.
That's exactly correct. I think the thing that's hard is so many times that term, that statement, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, is what we think of as resilience, right? That and it's not. So let's talk a little bit about that, what resilience is and how it's really not about your bootstraps.
Yeah, I love that actually, because again, with our son, he was one of the most resilient because he got stronger with supports. Right. He became this really powerful human alongside all of the hard stuff. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, oh, darling, it was, dude, you are the coolest person on the planet. Mm-hmm. And we will be here together to go through all of this. So resilience to me means becoming stronger alongside everything. It's not in spite of it. It's also finding the joy in the very minutes. And that is where it gets really gnarly. Because how do you find joy with the hard stuff?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough. And sometimes it's finding that the sun came up again, even though you don't really want to see that sunshine that day. You're like, why isn't it as cloudy as I feel? Well, the sun is still there above the clouds. It's hard to define.
Your son's name is?
It's Dallin.
Dallin. Yeah. How did, in past tense, unfortunately, how did Dallin show joy in some of those incredibly tough moments?
So there was a time he had pneumonia many times in his life. He had a hard time swallowing, and yet he loved food. Mm. So we didn't take away foods. We changed the foods that he loved. So we would make them a different consistency. But there was a time he had pneumonia for 4 months.
Oh, my.
And we were able to keep him home. We just changed the way we did our entire world. And this one time that he had pneumonia for that long, he would get up, want to get dressed, because that is routine. Keep the routine of life.
Yeah.
And then he would eat a little bit. We would pull out our sofa bed and then we would watch movies because that's the level of energy he had. The fact to me that he didn't want to just crawl back into his own bed, but he wanted to get into a different space where joy could be found for him, which was a hilarious movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Showed that even when he could barely sit up, We had to help him to the next space with his level of fatigue, with all of the things that he still was looking for a way to say, okay, and now, and now. The first time we left the home after that 4-month illness, he wanted to go get balloons. It was like, let's go get balloons. He used sign language. And we did. Also, we rested in the balloon store for 20 minutes. He was so fatigued. It was worth it. The people in the store knew that he was totally tired. They were going to help us to the store. And he just told us to wait. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Y'all, take a breath. And we did. So that's how he did it. We followed his lead. He wanted the funny movies. He wanted balloons because that stuff brought him joy in that minute alongside of then needing to rest for 3 more days because he had gone to the store to get balloons for whatever his reason was. It's how he did it every day.
You know, it also strikes me, Julia, that, you know, these examples of how he found joy, he was also very actively including other people in his joy. He was, you know, with you on the couch watching those movies, and he was with you and others in the balloon store. And I don't know that I will look at balloons the same way again, but that just really strikes me that because sometimes when we experience joy, we don't always want other people to partake of that joy with us, which is okay. But that really strikes me as something pretty profound with Dolan. So tell me about your book.
So the book came as a surprise. So I wrote the book. It was published last June of 2023. And it took me about 7 years to put it together. First, I couldn't listen to music. So our son did pass away with all of his illnesses and his disabilities after surviving it initially when he was 2. And when he did pass away, he loved music. He just strummed to it. He would just bounce and the rhythm and his toe would tap. And I couldn't listen to it for about 3 years. The radio was silent. The music was off. And then one day, I had songs coming into my mind again, and I turned on the radio, and that was pretty audacious of me personally, because I was like, oh, this is horrible. There's no one sitting next to me in the car or in our home who's bouncing. Like, there's nobody coming into this room anymore.
Yeah.
My husband was working 12-hour shifts again. I was also working. And so I started listening to music again, and then the story started coming. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? I started writing it down. There's something about writing it down, and it clears your space again. It cleared my space. I did that, and I presented at a conference about 3 of those songs. And people went, what is this? We have never heard this topic presented in this way. And it was this, well, you guys know me. It was a safe space. I had been around this community for a number of years. And then the stories kept coming. The songs kept coming. And I would write it down on the back of receipts or pop it into the end of a sticky note or put it on my hand if I didn't have anything else to write down. Yes, I had technology. Yes, that's what I do. I didn't use technology at the point. And then I started writing. I told somebody I was writing and they said, oh, you're in trouble. You have got to do this. So I did. When I published the book, it was actually a little frightening because people are not always kind.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
And then they were. And how extraordinary to have people who didn't know our son, who didn't know Dallin, go, wow. There you go. I also love music. I also have a child. I also know what it's like to be a parent. And it was really, really amazing. And it still is because people still love music. They still have children and they still can find a connection. But the stories that came are his. It's his experiences and how he told us what he needed. And that's what it became.
What's one of your favorite stories that you share about Dallin in the book?
So when people ask me that, my favorite one is about water. It's chapter 5. Mm-hmm. And he was drawn to it when he was a teeny tot, and we'd fill up the little pool and he would just splash in, you know, an inch. Because all they need is a little inch of water. And then it grew into going on boats, and it grew into adding mud. And then it became what he was granted from what's called Make-A-Wish.
Right.
Make-A-Wish is an organization that supports people who have life-threatening illnesses, which is a pretty big deal and extraordinary, and it takes your breath away, truly. That's my favorite because it was him, and he loved it. He loved water. He could take a sprinkler and turn it into just joy for a very long time. That's probably one of my most favorite spaces because it was water. And water, if we do it well, can be here.
Water is also very, very therapeutic for lots and lots of children.
Yeah,
I have a friend and her son is autistic and water is his thing. It's something that's very calming for him. At the same time, it's also very sensory stimulating, the splashing and watching the water and the interaction of your hand with the water and the feeling of it. And it's very therapeutic for him on multiple levels. It's really interesting.
I think it's the same for most of us. When I get near water, a waterfall or a lake or just hearing water, it brings us into a space of are who we are, right? So we loved water, Dallin loved water. So that's one of my favorite spaces. And it brings such joy to us. I read that and I'm grinning and I have 10 new wrinkles. And I am okay with 10 new wrinkles because it's joy. And it's like, oh my gosh, that child would get in and out of the pool from Make-A-Wish when he was exhausted and needed to rest for 2 more days.
Yeah.
Because of the joy it brought to him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. So let's talk about your writing and speaking. How can people learn more about you? How can people invite you to speak? Tell us a little bit more about how people can find you and the types of topics you speak about.
So this was another surprise for me. The first time I spoke in front of a group was when I was taking care of him in the hospital.
Okay.
The physicians there that day asked if I would come and speak to a group of doctors. And I said, not a chance. And then somebody there said, you have to go tell them. It was sharing the experience of what it was like to have a child with a sudden, unexpected illness. And I said, oh, they don't want to know the truth. Guess what they do? They did. And they still do. Because sharing an experience is where our stories become really helpful to other people as well. We are more the same than we believe. So when I speak now, I've been doing this for 30 years, and I get to share a space and a place and then say, and now this is how we can do something. So I love speaking about resilience because we all need to find it. Dallin found it as part of his soul. And I am working to do the thing that he found naturally or magically, but it was not magic. It was his essence. And now I have to fight for it. I remember being resilient and say, okay, now I can. So when I speak about that, it's how can we do this together? It is not individual. I also love to tell how he communicated with no spoken language.
Yeah.
He did not have spoken language after that illness, and yet he directed his life with such power and precision. It was beautiful to watch it, and then I had to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, this is not what I would have chosen. There are times I was like, you gotta be kidding me. You want me to do what? And he would say, seriously, Mom, seriously, So I love speaking about assistive technology and how it proved to be his powerful voice without speaking. Mm-hmm. And grief. Grief is hard. Grief is how we live with love that never ends. Mm-hmm. And that's tricky, powerful, and needed. It doesn't go away. I spoke about it for the past 2 days, in fact, and they said, I just don't know what to say. And I was like, okay, there's a beginning. So if people have any of those interests, for me, it comes back to being resilient mm-hmm. and finding joy, all of those areas. I love doing it, even when we all tremble and have to get a big old drink of water afterwards.
Yeah,
I have friends who, you know, are drinking all sorts of things afterwards. And I'm like, great, let's breathe together and do that. I can be contacted on my website and through social media, which is the best places. I love talking about the hard stuff, even when mm-hmm. we tremble.
That's fantastic. Well, all of our listeners, we will have all of Julia's contact information in our show notes. I find the opportunities to talk authentically about things like resilience and grief, those opportunities and those spaces are sometimes few and far between. And I think that having people like Julia who are willing to talk about those hard things in a very respectful and safe way is a real gift to all of us. Thank you so much, Julia.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of the Village Vision podcast on Word of Mom Radio. I hope you found inspiration and valuable insights from our conversation today. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, leave a review, and share. Thank you for being a part of the Village Vision podcast on Word of Mom Radio. Take care, and let's keep shining a light on the power of community, collaboration, and care.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is
sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
Sure of herself. Yes, she takes care of biz. Powerful and strong. Yes, she knows who she is, has integrity, woman strong and true. You know her by name, see this woman is you. She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold,
she is bold,
she is you,
she is you,
she is you,
she is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold.
She is you.
Adds value and hope. Has proved to be brave. See, it's never too late. Never time to behave. Reaching for dreams. Doesn't matter the age. Believes in herself. Unleashed from her cage. She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.